you will go ahead and turn to Colossians, about three-fourths of the way back in the New Testament, Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to put one more plug in for our pictorial directory. Marjan, I told her that to tell them that the pastor said it, that not being in the directory, not having your picture was not an option. But obviously that's an option. But I hope that's not what you choose. We, you know, I've been thinking for a couple of years it was time. We needed a new, we have so many new faces, so many new members that I thought it was time for a couple of years and just been kind of putting it off. And then we got a prayer request for a new directory. I thought, it's time when we start getting prayer requests. So hope you'll be a part of that. We want to know one another, don't we? That's the way we do it, is get our pictures and get our names attached with it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, are you God's chosen people? So it sounds like he's talking to us. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. What kind of world would it be if we all did that? It'd be a better world for sure. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we know that you are already here, but we ask you now to speak in power and authority. May we hear directly from you. And transform us, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Is it just me, or does it seem like people are angry in our culture? I don't know what it is, but it seems like getting behind the wheel of a car, we flip a switch. It's just kind of like our crazy switch. Anybody else ever experience that? People seem to be angry. It seems as though it's taking less and less to hack somebody off. Is that okay to say hack off and to be hacked off? You know, is that okay? I think so. It seems like it's taking less and less to make us angry as a culture. I forgot to ask Cheryl. Cheryl always panics when I say, I forgot to ask you if I could talk to this. But Cheryl had an incident. It's not really about Cheryl, so I can get away with it. But Cheryl had an incident just 2 or 3 weeks ago. She was driving to exercise one morning and going about her own business, didn't think anything was up, pulled in the parking lot to get out of her car, and was confronted by this lady that she came swerving into the parking lot and got out of her car yelling that Cheryl had cut her off and done all sorts of things. And Cheryl didn't have a clue what the lady was angry about and was shouting. And, you know, I'm sure there were veins popping out on the forehead and those kinds of things. And Cheryl was apologized, didn't know what she had done, but said, I'm sorry if I did that, you know. And so this lady was mad. She got back in her car and peeled out of the parking lot and left. And as Cheryl was walking in to exercise, some of the other ladies that saw this were, are you okay? What happened? Are you okay? And just this lady was just angry. A little over 3 weeks ago, we all know about the shooting that took place over a bumper. Now, I don't know any details about who did what or who didn't do what. I'm not going to get into all of that. But I do know that there is a young man dead. There's a young man dead, and it was over a fender bender. Someone was not driving the way someone else wanted them to drive, and there is now a young man dead. Are we an angry society? I mean, will you just open the newspaper and just start reading? You just look anywhere, and it seems like people are just angry. And us as Christians, is anybody in here have their act together besides me, have their everything in their act together? Am I the only one? None of y'all have your act together. I'm ashamed of you.
I got news for you,
Jeff. I don't need. I think I'll probably be filled in by the family later. Okay, perhaps I don't have my act together. But it seems as though that we just are an angry culture. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. I don't know that we can figure all of that out today. But I think part of it is we're too busy. We run around all the time. We're just busy, 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 busy. And I think that's one of the reasons why in the car, I know when I get a little short and when I'm driving, when I'm frustrated, it's usually when I'm in a hurry. When I have it planned properly and I'm trying to get somewhere and I'm in a hurry, I tend to be more frustrated with other people's driving. We're going to talk today. Our sermon is When People Rub You the Wrong Way. That's a very holy sounding title, isn't it? When People Rub You the Wrong Way. We can't solve maybe perhaps all that's wrong with our culture this morning, our society, all this anger that seems to be building up, but we can talk a little bit about our responsibility as Christians. How to respond when people rub us the wrong way. You know, some people just rub us the wrong way, don't they? You ever had, I remember it's probably been 15 years ago or so, I was working for the Central Appraisal District. I was as Butler used to call me, a windshield appraiser. But we had what we called protest period, where people came in and protested their values and talked to you about their values. And literally, I was seeing, all of the appraisers were seeing someone, normally angry someone. Most of the people that came in were angry, not everyone, but many were angry. And we were seeing, for about a three-month period, we were seeing an angry person every 30 minutes, all day long. And it'll wear you out. It'll wear you out. And I remember I did that for several years as an appraiser, and I can remember out of all of that time, out of hundreds and hundreds of people I dealt with, I only remember one person that, I'm sorry, another one just came to my mind, two people, two people that it really didn't matter what I said. I had one guy, and this was an older gentleman. I was worried about him because I was afraid he was going to have a stroke or something. He stood up in front of my desk with his fist doubled, ready to take me on. And I was a young strapping buck back in those days. And I had hair in the whole works. But I remember he stood up and he was ready to fight me, and he had just sat down in the office. We hadn't even had a chance to talk about anything. He was angry. Some people just seem to rub us the wrong way. What do we do, Christians? What do we do, church, when people rub us the wrong way? Paul is trying to give us some clues this morning. First thing, when people rub us the wrong way, church, remember who you belong to and who you represent. I've got a passage here that we're dealing with today. Therefore, as God's chosen people, are you God's chosen people? It goes on, and God's word goes on to say that we're not only His chosen people, holy and dearly loved, but we are His ambassadors. You know, did you know that when people see us, a professing Christian, they are making an analogy of God, or they're making a measurement of God? Did you know that? I mean, if you're proclaiming, you know, like if somebody says, I'm a golfer, and you like, you know, hack one out in the water, they go, man, all golfers must, I hope that's not all golfers. That's what happens to us as Christians. When we proclaim and we profess that we are Christians, people are watching us and they're making a judgment. That's what it means to be a Christian. We are Christ's representative. We are his ambassador. We must remember who we belong to and who we represent. If we will remember that we belong to Christ, and we remember that we are representing Christ, it will somehow shape the way we deal with difficult people. I was proud of myself that day. Seriously, I was really concerned about this gentleman's health because I was really afraid he was going to have a heart attack or something. But I didn't respond in anger back at him. I understood this man was frustrated and he was angry, and his wife and I both just, Mr. Jones, I don't even remember his name. Mr. Jones, please just sit down. Let's talk. It's okay. And if we remember that we represent Christ, it will change how we deal with difficult people. And I remember when I was growing up, my dad worked for the Alcoholic Beverage Commission. He ended up being an assistant supervisor in this district, moved on to some other districts. And do y'all know what that is, Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission? That's the drinking police, okay? And I remember that I represented my dad. Okay, so the last thing I wanted to do was have Dad come bail me out of jail. And I remember my dad met a lot of my friends through high school. Did you? Come in on Monday morning, like, "Hey Jeff, I met your dad this weekend. Yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah, yeah." So I was somehow this representative of my dad. And it helped me conduct myself through high school. I didn't want to disappoint my dad. I didn't want my dad to be angry with me. And I wanted to represent him well, so I kept that in mind the entire time. The second thing, when people rub us the wrong way, seek to take on the qualities of Christ. Seek to take on the qualities of Christ. You know, this passage where in verse 12, where it says, "Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." You know, I was thinking through that clothing ourselves, and I was thinking, you know, this when it got so cold here a couple of months ago, and it was just for unseasonably cold for this area. And I can remember, you know, you kind of shocks you. You walk out, and we're accustomed to our winters around here, which I generally don't even get out my big coat through the winter. But I remember I got out and that wind hit me and you know, you got snow and ice all over the place. And all of a sudden it's like, I'm not equipped. I'm not equipped to handle this. My body, my skin is not equipped to handle this kind of cold, these conditions. So I went back in the house and I clothed myself in a way to help me handle the environment that I found myself in. And that's what God's word is telling us here, that people are going to rub us the wrong way. And we sometimes, in our flesh, we are not equipped to handle it. And he's saying to us, clothe yourself. Put on compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. And there's this asking, God, through your Holy Spirit, help me to be clothed with these qualities of you instead of my flesh. In verse 15, it goes on to say in this passage today, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. You know, clothing ourselves with the very qualities of Christ. The third thing, when people rub you the wrong way, forgive as you have been forgiven. You know, it's so easy to when someone makes us angry, it's so easy to just focus on what they've done to us. And what Christ is telling us is, it says in verse 13, to bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And I'll tell you one of the most humbling scriptures to me, absolutely the most humbling scripture to me, is when Christ, it's found in Luke 23, when Christ was hanging on the cross and he had been beaten and whipped and nailed to a cross for nothing. I want you to remember that. This was an innocent man, had done nothing to no one. All he had done is healed He had loved. He had had people rise from the dead. He's hanging on a cross, and he says, Father, forgive them. If we think about that, church, how can we ever be angry at anybody again? I mean, really? If we think about that it was our sin, there's a song that I love by Dennis Jernigan, and it's called It Was My Sin. And the song says, it was my sin that nailed him there. And so if we understand that it wasn't those mean Romans or those mean Jewish leaders that nailed Jesus there, it was you and I that nailed him there. It was you and I, our sins, that nailed him there. And when he's hanging on a cross, bleeding and battered and bruised and near death, probably in just a tiny whisper, he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. That's the heart of Christ. When people rub us the wrong way, we must remember that we forgive as we have been forgiven. And finally, when people rub you the wrong way, the fourth thing, love them on behalf of Christ. I cannot overemphasize, church, that we are Christ's ambassadors. People are making a judgment, right or wrong, justified or not, they are making a judgment not only about the Christian church through us, you and I, but also about God himself. If we proclaim to be a Christian and we conduct ourselves poorly, the damage that that does to the kingdom is beyond what I can imagine. And I especially put that burden on myself. I believe that pastors are even more capable of causing damage to the message of Christ, even than just a professing Christian. Because there's the profile of being a pastor. It's like somebody maybe they. I mean, it's like you're really looked at and judged. I don't mean that in a bad way. I take that as a responsibility that people, when they look at me, what is my life reflecting? Is my life reflecting what I'm telling you right now? And certainly I'm not perfect, but if my life is not generally reflecting what you're hearing from this pulpit, I am a poor pastor. If my life is not consistent at home with daughters and wives, I am a poor pastor. It's just the way it is. If we as Christians, if our life is not reflecting that Christ is Lord of our life, what message are we sending? What damage are we doing to the kingdom? When people rub us the wrong way, we must remember that we love because he first loved us, and we are his ambassadors. Paul summarizes his appeal, Apostle Paul in Colossians here, this chapter that we're reading. He says in verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. He's calling us to step above the fray. When people are angry at us, when people cut us off in traffic and point at us with a particular finger that we don't really appreciate. Anybody ever had that done to them? Well, I mean, my flesh, when somebody does that to me, my flesh is just kind of starts bubbling. And I must remember who I represent. I must remember that Christ loves me and he has called me to love his people. You know, it's a simple thing, and I know some people that maybe they're irritated by the little fish on the back of vehicles. I've had one on my vehicle for years, and I'll tell you, it's as much for me as it is for the people that would see it. Because I realize that it's making a statement. I'm a Christian. And when I drive my truck around town, I remember that fish. When someone cuts me off, when someone does something that I don't like, I remember who I'm representing. friend of mine, pastor friend of mine, had a, I don't know if y'all, if you've been here for very long, you remember I used to have a pickup and had a big saying on the back windshield, and it said, "I am a life that has changed," or was changed. And he had something similar on his. It was a statement about his faith. I forget exactly what his said, but he told me a story one time that he was late to, he was late. He was going to speak, to speak on behalf of Christ. And he's zigging and zagging in on the highway out here, on the loop out here to get where he needs to go. And he kind of zigs and zags over the speed limit and goes down the exit ramp there by the mall. And an older gentleman, he was at the light, and an older gentleman flagged him over in a parking lot, in the parking lot there. And he pulled over, and this man got out, and he said, "Sonny," something along those lines, "I noticed your window. I noticed your window. You're a Christian." "Yes, sir, I am." He said, "You weren't driving like a Christian just now." And he thought for a minute and he said, "No, sir, I wasn't. You're exactly right." And he said, "I'll try to do better." We are Christ representatives, church. When someone rubs us the wrong way, what about us using that as an opportunity to show them Christ? I mean, anyone can react, can't we? Anyone can react and get all upset and let anger be received with more anger. I mean, anyone can do that. That's what the world does. That's what those outside of Christ are taught to do. Stand up for your rights. Christ is saying, no, love your neighbor. Love because I loved you first. Forgive as I have forgiven you. In fact, the very fruit of the Spirit that is in us when we become Christians is the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of us. The fruit of that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. What would we be like if when people rubbed us the wrong way if we let the fruit of the Spirit come out of us? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What if we did that? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, church. And believe me, I don't have it down. I don't have it down. But I can improve. Remember who you belong to and who you represent. Seek to take on the qualities of Christ. Forgive as you have been forgiven, and love them on behalf of Christ. You know, when Christ was hanging on the cross and he said, "Father, forgive them," it wasn't, and I've said this before, but it wasn't as if that Christ was drug kicking and screaming to the cross. It wasn't that they had to, you know, that he was like Saddam. They found Saddam hiding in a hole, you know, and they had to drag him. Christ wasn't hiding in a corner and they discovered him and they drug him to the cross. No, Jesus knew what was coming. He had been foretelling his crucifixion and that he would rise again. He had been foretelling that to people, his disciples mainly. And so he knew what he was going into. When he rode into the donkey, we'll be celebrating Palm Sunday in a few weeks. When he rode into Jerusalem that final time to the shouts of Hosanna, he knew that soon that week, those shouts of Hosanna would soon turn to crucify him. Crucify him. And yet, the night before he was to hang on that cross, the night before he was betrayed and forsaken by his friends, his body was broken. He said, "Take and eat this. This is my body." And he recognized he had seen crucifixions. Living in that region, he had surely seen what the Romans did and what they did well. And he understood that it was a bloody practice. And he understood that his blood was the blood of the new covenant that must be spilled for you and for I so that we could be made whole. Take just a moment, if you would, to pray your own silent prayer of confession before a holy God. Father, we pray blessings on this bread and on this cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ. Thank you for your sacrifice. In the name of Jesus, you are forgiven. I want to extend this invitation to this table. This invitation comes from Christ himself. He said, for all who would repent of their sins and would confess him as Lord, that they're welcome at this table. So our invitation is his invitation. You are invited to this table. You do not have to be a member of this church. You do not have to be a member of any church. If you have professed Christ as your Lord and your Savior and you repent of your sins, you are invited to this table. You are invited to come today. You know, I've had people that I've actually known people in the past that will not come to church if they know communion's going to be held that Sunday because they don't feel worthy. This is not a place for worthiness. This is a place for brokenness. This is a place where we come confessing that outside of Christ we are helpless, but with Christ we have hope. We have hope of eternal life. So you are invited to this table if you confess Christ as your Lord and you repent of your sins. If you are serving our praise team or sound team, please come. Billy? table has been prepared. The invitation has been made. We have confessed our sins. We invite you to come. You have five serving stations. The four on the outsides will have a piece of bread, and they will hand you the bread, and you dip it into the cup and partake in that manner. The altar rail is open after you've received if you'd like to pray. In the center, we have the individual cups and the wafers there. If you would like to be served in that manner, come to the center. Come.
Your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty, my soul so longs and need thy face for you. For here my heart is satisfied.
Come ye sinners, poor needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you. He's full of pity, love and power. Thy will arise and go, Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms and in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. Come ye thirsty, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. I will arise and go to Jesus.
As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Go and love someone. Go and tell someone. In Jesus' name, we are dismissed. God bless you.
'Cause better is one day in your cross.